Get ready now for Rocket to the Future, Part 1, Chapter 6, Still Marooned on Phobos. Yes, once again, we soar off to the space-age future, 1992, with the crew of the Earth Space Force rocket, the Vanguard.
I'm Captain Major. In the last episode of Rocket to the Future, Part 1, Commander Iris Train, my first officer, weapons officer, chief engineer, science officer, and doctor, and the only woman in the history of the Earth Space Force to rise above the rank of cadet, conducted the crew's 6 months performance reviews, as required by the calendar alert bell that kept clanging throughout the ship, worsening my headache from a bad batch of space gin. Anyway, I'm not really sure how the performance reviews came out. I've been mostly sedated, trying to recover from the bad batch of space gin, but apparently Lieutenant Schickelgruber received a bad rating for being injured, and that treasonous saboteur, Lieutenant Nemesis...
That's Nemesis.
Sure. Anyway, Commander Train busted Nemesis down to Ensign, and then, after he tried to tamper with his negative performance review, she busted him down further to ex-Ensign and threw him back into the brig. Cadet Cindy received an okay review, but the morale posters she's in charge of posting are starting to curl at the corners. Ensign Zinn received a good review for not being a complete idiot, and for some reason, Commander Train wants him to get the rest of the crew to believe he has alien telepathic powers. Finally, Commander Train tells me that the performance review she conducted on herself was so phenomenal that I needed to put her in for promotion to captain, even though she's only a woman. Other stuff that I heard happened in the last episode are that somehow I promoted Cadet Billy to Cadet Acting Lieutenant J.G. Who knows why? And Phil the Used Android recovered the radioactive name tag that confers mysterious powers onto the wearer. Oh, and also we're still marooned on Phobos, the scarier of Mars's two moons, with our communications down and our engines inoperative. Whew, that's it. I'm exhausted.
What Captain Major's space gin-fogged brain forgot to tell you, boys and girls, is that there are glowing giants approaching from the horizon. Will they attack the Vanguard with their alien ray drills and then enslave the crew of the Vanguard to work in the peat mines of Venus? Let's find out right after this message from our new sponsor, Moon Rings.
Hey there, anxious teen just out of high school. I'm Johnny. Johnny Moon Rings. From Johnny Moonrings, Moonrings. I'm here to help, and here's how. We know you have your eye on the sweet little miss who serves you that grilled cheese sandwich at the lunch counter. But how are you going to get her to turn those big Bambi eyes on you so that you can ask her out to the roller rink, get engaged, get married, and have her father make you a partner in his hardware business that's expanding daily with new stores all over the state? How? Here's how. With a glow-in-the-dark moon ring that says, in the most romantic way possible, "Darling, I'm imposing an absolute yet indefinite commitment on you." Slip that ring on your little gal's finger and watch her glow. That's right, sonny. Moon rings are lined with radium. They glow in the dark so brightly you can always pick your sweet little miss out of the crowd and pull her away from other guys trying to cut in on your action. Slip a moon ring on your baby's finger today. Now with 20% more radium.
And now, back to our show.
Sound the alarm. Something's trying to cut into the ship. Cadet Billy, alert the captain. Oh, wait, never mind. Alert Commander Train.
Well, I would, Ensign Zinn, but because of the radioactive name tag that confers mysterious powers onto the wearer, Commander Train is not only the first officer, weapons officer, science officer, chief engineer, and doctor, but now she's also the morale officer, chief of security, chief laundry officer, chief navigator, chief mechanic, and chief chef. Right now, she's making sandwiches for the entire crew and can't be disturbed.
Great. That's just great. Lieutenant Schickelgruber is still moaning and complaining in his body cast, and the traitor Nemesis...
That's Nemesis.
...is still in the brig. So, that leaves me in command. Space, damn it! I wanted to see if Cadet Cindy wanted to take a walk out to that new chasm.
What's the alarm? No, Ensign, I don't have any particular desire to walk out to the new chasm with you.
Cadet Cindy, go to the armory for Space Blastus. We're being boarded.
Isn't this exciting, boys and girls? While Cadet Cindy brings Ensign Zinn and Cadet Billy the Space Blasters, we'll hear from a new sponsor, Wax Vials of Space Jolt. Kids, you know how just an hour after a sugary space snack, your natural pep level crashes like an asteroid into the moon? Well, pep right up with a wax vial of Space Jolt. They're easy to hide from Mom and Dad. Just slip them into the folded-up cuffs of your dungarees. Pop off the wax lid and suck down the thick, sugary Space Jolt. Now in three space flavors, red, yellow, and blue.
Here are the Space Blasters! And I brought our spacesuits. If they cut through, our air will rush out into the vacuum of Phobos' non-atmosphere. We'll have to take the fight to these aliens.
Good thinking, Cadet Cindy.
All right, I'm opening the hatch. When I say now, we'll blast them.
Wait, stop.
What for? I'm ready to blast the aliens. Watch this.
Quit it, Billy. Cindy, it's just that, you know, I'm in command, so I'm the one who's supposed to say now.
Okay. Ready?
Now!
Woohoo! I got one.
Okay, we surrender. Cease fire.
Billy, Cindy, cease fire. They're Earth's Space Force, not aliens. Who are you? And why in the space blazes are you attacking the Vanguard?
Hi, I'm Cadet Cindy. Sorry we shot one of your crew.
It was me. I shot him.
Oh, that's okay. It was just one of the cadets.
We have an extra one if you want.
Well, as I live and avert my gaze, it's my old bunkmate, Vittorio Zinn. You're a year out of the Space Force Academy and still an ensign? Why am I not surprised?
Wait, what? Averill Chesterfield III? How did you get promoted to Lieutenant JG already?
I received an inventory control citation last month. Not a single inventory item on the Nosguard was out of place or unaccounted for. Spare cables were properly coiled and stowed. Space ration cans were arranged by height and labeling color with labels upright and facing outward for easy reading. Also, being a year out of the Academy, I was promoted on schedule, unlike you. Of course, since we heard the Vanguard disappeared 6 months ago, I figured you were dead, so you'd be even less likely to be promoted.
Come on, Averill, that's not fair. The Vanguard was caught in a time warp, and that's how we ended up here on Phobos. But though we graduated a year ago, in a sense, for me, it's just been a few months ago. I jumped ahead in time. That's how I fell behind.
First, it's Lieutenant Chesterfield III to you. Ensign, not Averill. Second, using the old time warp excuse? Really? But you're still an alien, right, Zinn? Your hair and skin, you know, darker than normal human hair and skin?
What? No!
But for the time being, it might be valuable for the crew to think you really are an alien. One possessed of strange alien powers.
Wait, yes, I am an alien. Maybe with special powers. So perhaps I know what you've got planned.
Planned? What do you mean?
You know, with the,
The inventory? The inventory readjustment? And the space gin?
Exactly.
Damn it to space ghosts. You are an alien. I knew it.
It seems so, doesn't it? Still, you better keep that on the QT.
The what?
The down low. You better keep it to yourself about me being an alien. Everyone will think you're crazy. I'm from, Detroit, right?
Detroit? Yeah, Detroit.
Still, I don't understand why you were trying to break into the Vanguard.
Yes, Lieutenant. Why were you trying to break into the Vanguard?
Quiet, Billy. Come on, Averill. Answer Cadet Cindy's question.
Sure thing, Cindy. And then why don't we take a romantic walk out to that new chasm?
Should I blast him, Ensign Zinn?
Not yet, Billy. Come on, Lieutenant J.G. Chesterfield. What gives?
Well, as I say, we thought the Vanguard had been destroyed. But when we saw it here on Phobos, Captain Casey thought we should land the Nosgard and investigate. We assumed you were all dead, naturally, and anyone alive on board was probably either a space pirate or a space cannibal. So, my men and I set our blasters to kill and hiked over here to the Vanguard to see what we could...
Pillage?
Pillage? Man, those are some fine alien mind-reading powers, all right. But I was going to say salvage.
But you meant pillage.
There you go again. Well, anyway, I didn't earn that extra inventory citation from just waiting around for supplies. They don't deliver themselves.
Well, Lieutenant, while you repair the damage to the Vanguard's hull, and I go file charges against you, Cadet Billy, you and this unidentified Nosgard crew member...
That's the Nosgard!
And I'm Lieutenant J.G. Lionel Lindley, Ensign, the Nosgard's operations and latrine officer. You and Averill were very rude not to let me get a word in edgewise so that I could introduce myself.
You're exactly right about Averill being rude, Lieutenant. And thanks very much for helping Cadet Billy take this wounded and now strangely silent cadet of yours down to sickbay. Cadet Cindy, could you see if Dr./Commander Train has finished making sandwiches for the crew so that she can attend to this new patient?
Commander Train? Yes, Ensign.
First things first. As I recall, you have on board the Vanguard a Lieutenant Nettie Nemesis.
That's Nemi.
Sadly, we do, only he's not a lieutenant anymore. He was busted down to Ensign, and then to ex-Ensign, and now he's in the brig again for treason, sabotage, and tampering with his performance review.
Of course he is. Thanks, Ensign. After we drop off this unnamed cadet at sickbay, I'm going to drop in on my old academy roommate, Nettie.
Men in charge. Something about clubbing just doesn't sound right.
Okay, boys and girls, I'll admit that the narrative drive has slowed down a little from the threat of alien attack. But stay tuned for more conversations between former Earth Space Force Academy roommates. And we'll learn more about the mysterious Captain Casey and the rocket ship Nosgard's brand new android, the Eugene 2000. And now we join Lieutenant Lindley as he visits his old roommate, Nettie, in the brig.
So, Lionel Lindley, a lieutenant, J.G., at last.
Nettie Nemesis.
That's Nemesis.
Nettie. Not just demoted to ensign and then ex-ensign, but in the brig on charges of treason and sabotage. And not for the first time, apparently.
Lionel. Oh, never mind. Your name is too tiresome to say even once, much less to repeat. Still bristling over coming in second, 2 years in a row, for the Crispus Uniform Award at the Academy?
You cheated. I earned that award. You swapped dress uniforms on me so that I ironed yours for you, and then I had to rush through ironing mine at the last minute.
I wouldn't call that cheating. I just proved myself more resourceful. And, what amazes me is that you let me pull that same trick again the very next year, even though you knew I'd switched our uniforms before.
But I outsmarted you, didn't I, Nettie? I anticipated that you'd switch uniforms by switching them first.
But of course, you outsmarted yourself. I had already switched them. And don't you remember that I told you I'd poured strawberry juice on the collar of your uniform, staining it as a cruel joke?
Come to think of it, that was a cruel joke.
But I didn't. It was an even crueler joke for you to think that I had so that you'd believe my strawberry-stained uniform was yours. I remember watching you spend all night scrubbing my uniform collar to lift the stains. Too bad the night patrol saw your light on and caught you just as you finished. Thanks, by the way.
It was you, wasn't it? You were the one who reported me.
Of course it was. I wasn't going to just sit there outside your window, drinking and laughing, and let you get away with flouting the curfew. I wore the Space Force uniform you cleaned and pressed for me with pride.
You won't get away with this, Nettie.
What? Don't be ridiculous, Lionel. I got away with that uniform trick years ago, and I'll probably get away with the treason, sabotage, and tampering with my performance review. But if you really want to get back at me, Lionel...
Boy, do I ever.
You'll help me escape from the brig.
What? Is that a space virus talking?
Think about it, Nettie. I'm going to beat those other charges easily. But what's the penalty for breaking out of the brig?
I don't know. Another month in the brig?
Nope. It's 100 space years.
That seems harsh.
It really does. But rules are rules. So, what do you think, Lionel? You help me escape, and I get put away for 100 space years.
I don't know.
Just press the big red button over your head there to unlock the door.
How about that, boys and girls? Will Lieutenant Lindley help ex-ensign Nemesis escape, thus becoming an unwitting accessory to a pretty clear violation of an Earth Space Force rule about opening brig doors? Let's find out, right after a word from our sponsor, Chesterfield Space Candy Cigars, for boys who want to start training their lungs early for the real thing.
We have to figure out a way to get the radioactive name tag away from Commander Train. And we're not alone, and I'm not attracted to you.
I know. You're right, except for the last part. Here comes Chief Chef Train.
Cindy, Ensign, have a space mayonnaise sandwich. Have two. Have three. As I am also morale officer, I insist. As I am also chief of security, I'll stand here and watch as you finish each dry, oily morsel.
Cindy, I've got an idea. I'll be right back.
Ensign, come back and finish your sandwiches. You're on report.
Well, if it isn't Commander Iris Train, the only woman in the history of the Earth Space Force to rise above the rank of cadet.
Captain Francis Casey, my old roommate at the academy, until the night patrol corrected the spelling of your first name.
Captain Casey! Hi, I'm Cadet Cindy. We need your help. We're marooned here on Phobos. Commander Train is under the control of a radioactive name tag, and our supplies are running...
Quiet, Cindy! After I make the captain a few dozen space sandwiches, he and I are heading straight to my cabin for morale reasons, and then I'm locking the door behind us for security reasons.
But Commander...
Sorry, Iris. I only have time to say no in person to the Vanguard's request for more supplies.
Slow down, Pip. Our tether is hurting my wrist.
Hurry up, Pip.
I'm trying, Ensign, but it would be a bleeding sight easier to drag a middle-aged encyclopedia salesman behind me if you weren't dragging a bleeding crate of galactic encyclopedias behind him.
Make an effort, Farley. After we get the radioactive name tag away from Commander Train, maybe she'll untether you from Pip.
The radioactive name tag. If I take it, I can be Professor Shadowy again.
Oh, very well, Ensign, but we'll have to come back for the encyclopedias.
Okay, Pip, do what only you can do.
Morning, Mum. I say, but don't those space sandwiches look aff delicious? Mind passing me that large heavy metal tray of them?
Oh, very well.
Little further, Mum. The tether, you know.
What's all this, Iris? You need to keep your crew tethered now?
They're not crew. They're prisoners. Hey!
But gob blimey, don't I feel peculiar? Like I've burped up a bad fry.
Hey! Farley, no!
Now, I've got it. I'm feeling woozy. Professor Shadowy is possessing me once again.
Flaming space pigeons! What's going on here? Give me that glowing whatever it is thing.
No!
Francis, that's not a good idea. Why don't you just push that name tag into this jar of space mayonnaise, nice and easy.
What's this? This name tag? It's attaching itself to my uniform, molding itself into my hard, masculine chest. I'm feeling woozy. Like the time at the academy we got drunk and stayed up.
Not in front of the crew, Francis.
Commander, am I losing my space cadet vision? It looks like the radioactive name tag is blurring into Captain Casey's uniform.
Your vision's fine, Cadet Cindy, because I'm seeing the same thing. His uniform, his whole body seems to be melting into itself. You, on the other hand, are as crisp and radiant as ever. Commander Train, care to comment?
Don't talk about me in the third person. I'm right here.
Francis, Captain Casey, straighten up. You're starting to sag.
He's melting. Captain Casey is melting.
What did I just say? I'm right here.
I'll just leave now with everyone's belongings. Be seeing you.
Come along, Farley.
He's starting to spill across the deck. Cadet Cindy, run for a space mop and a space bucket.
Yes, Commander.
Ensign, try to, I don't know, press Captain Casey's body back into shape before he liquefies completely.
Commander, do I have to? He's kind of sticky to the touch. Maybe a space spatula?
Talk to him. Keep him focused. I'm getting my space tissue sample kit from sick bay.
Captain Casey, begging your pardon, Captain. I'm Ensign Zinn, the Vanguard's inventory control officer. But now you're a softer, may I say more malleable version of yourself. Well, the Vanguard is very low on supplies.
As you were, Ensign. If the Nosgard handed out its supplies to every marooned Earth Space Force rocket it encountered, there'd be no end to it. Besides, our inventory spreadsheets are written in space ink, not space pencil. Any revision would look like a forgery.
Cindy, do you have the space mop and bucket? Captain Casey's like ice cream on a hot sidewalk. And just as sticky.
Here, Ensign. I'll hold the bucket. You mop.
Well, that's most of him. How you doing in there, Captain Casey? He's not very responsive in his liquid state. I'd better put Captain Casey in the space refrigerator. Maybe he'll keep longer.
Never mind, Ensign. We still need to get those supplies from the nose guard. We're on our fallback plan.
Okay, Cindy, let's go drop Phil into position.
An hour later, just outside the Vanguard, Lieutenant Chesterfield is having words with the Nausgard's new android, the Eugene 2000, about the repairs to the Vanguard's hull.
Eugene, what's taking you so long? Aren't you supposed to be the latest in android technology? You should have repaired the damage to the Vanguard's hull hours ago, especially with the Vanguard's android to help.
But, Lieutenant, he is a used android, a Mark 700 series, using the old gasoline-powered jets. My atomic-powered eyes are rattling in their sockets at the very sight of him. Look at him. He is wearing a blonde pigtailed wig to cover unsightly bald patches. His rubbery fingers cannot even grip tools.
My name is Phil. Please don't speak of me in the third person. I'm sitting right down here in the local dirt and can hear everything you say.
And even if he could grip tools, he is not wearing his legs, so he cannot climb up the scaffolding.
No legs, huh? I thought he was just standing in a hole for some reason.
I can grip tools. I just choose not to right now.
Plus, his gasoline tank is empty, so he cannot fly up here to use a blowtorch. And that pigtail's wig is not even set on his head straight.
I have legs, in my cabin. But they're both left legs, not practical.
Quit your complaining, Eugene. Just work something out. Lend this android one of your battery packs. I don't care. Now get back to work. I need to take Cadet Cindy for a walk out to see the new chasm.
May I help, Eugene 2000?
Just shut up, Phil.
What about now, Eugene 2000? May I help now?
What? What? Stop annoying me. I have already established that you can be of no help to anyone at any time ever.
But I have an idea.
Okay, what, Phil? What is your idea?
You could lend me your blowtorch arm.
That would simply impede my efforts. I would be left with only 5 arms to work with.
Then you could lend me your atomic-powered electric jetpack.
No. Besides, our appendage systems are incompatible. I am new. When were you built? 1980?
Yes. Or several years earlier than 1980. I have another idea, Eugene 2000. You seem tired, Eugene 2000.
I am. Obviously. I've been working for 21 hours, 53 minutes, with no respite.
You should rest. Down here. The local dirt is very soft.
What are you going on about?
We can swap cranial control units. You can rest and recharge here in the local dirt, wearing my cozy, if immobilized, android body, while I do your repair work for you up on the scaffolding.
That is ridiculous.
The local dirt here is very soft, as is the enclosure of my warm, incompetent android body.
Well, maybe for a minute.
An hour would be longer.
That is true. All right, an hour. No longer. Very well. I'm coming down.
Here, let me.
Do not touch me with those loose, rubbery fingers of yours, Phil. I will transfer the cranial control units, not you. You might drop mine in the dirt.
There. All done. How do you feel?
You were right, Phil. Your incompetent android body is very cozy and warm, though it does not smell very fresh. Much like an ashtray and elderly socks.
I'll just flip this toggle switch on the back of your new/old head to off. To help you sleep.
Wait! What? No!
Ensign Zinn?
Yes, Phil?
Inventory transfer has begun, Ensign Zinn.
Tune in again next time when we'll hear Cadet Cindy say...
Sorry, Lieutenant Chesterfield III. The Eugene 2000 wants to come live on the Vanguard now. You can keep Phil if you want.
Okay, Kevin, let's thank our cast and me first. Tony Flynn, Kevin Decker, Nancy Robb, Ann Porter, Liz Rognes, Davis Hill, Terry McMullen, Liam McMullen, Mimi Marinucci, Nisha Schramm, Ryan Weldon, Scott Kinderpyle, and Steve Lloyd.
And to the 3 people who don't care what order we announce them in, Carrie Boyce, Vern Windham, and the only man who tries to start the wave while he watches baseball at home alone, Brian Lindsay.